This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. When the United States and South Korea reached an agreement on preferential trade terms back in 2007, neither country knew that the global economy was about to look very different from the previous few years. The world entered a prolonged recession in 2008, putting a damper on demand for everything, even food. Despite that, the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, or CORUS for short, which took effect in 2012, benefited U.S. agricultural exports by securing a much larger share of the South Korean market for U.S. beef, pork, and other agricultural exports than we had before CORUS. U.S. pork exports to South Korea have more than doubled under CORUS. U.S. beef exports to South Korea have increased 82%. These gains are the result of lower tariffs, growing import quotas, and science-based trade rules that open the door for more U.S. farm goods. Today, the United States has a 27% share of the South Korean import market, compared to just 11% for the number two supplier, China. As a result of our preferential trade status with South Korea, as well as the recovery in the global economy, U.S. agricultural exports to South Korea could set a new record, topping $7 billion this year. With U.S. agricultural imports from Korea projected to be about $500 million, we are looking at an ag trade surplus of 93%. South Korea is heavily dependent on agricultural imports. If the United States were to withdraw from CORUS, South Korea would still need to import the same amount of food. It would just get that food from our competitors instead of U.S. farmers and ranchers. In fact, some of our competitors, such as Australia, Canada, and the European Union, have signed their own trade agreements with South Korea. They say this is the highest form of flattery. It certainly provides evidence that the U.S. was right to secure the largest share of the South Korean market. Agricultural trade under CORUS is a success story. It allows the U.S. to play to our strength, our highly productive farms and ranches. We cannot afford to walk away from that. Congressional lawmakers have started listening sessions and early hearings on the next farm bill. Farm Bureau has spent a great deal of time and effort over the last 18 months working closely with a number of State Farm Bureau staff to develop a large set of resources for members to study as they think about issues around the next bill. Those resources can be found on the AFPF website. One idea that is rearing its ugly head again is that of government-sponsored land retirement, either short-term in the form of annual supply control programs or long-term programs through the expansion of the Conservation Reserve Program. Neither of these ideas are ones that, frankly, ever worked really well, and they certainly do not recognize the realities of agriculture in the second and third decades of the 21st century. Texas is the largest in the U.S. by a wide margin. During 2017, Texas is expected to produce 8.8 million bales of cotton, representing 43% of total U.S. production and 5.9 million bales more than the second leading cotton producing state of Georgia. The Agriculture Department's August 28th Crop Progress Report revealed the cotton harvest was 12% complete, up 6% from last year and up 7% from the five-year average. However, with nearly 7.8 million bales of cotton yet to be harvested in Texas and more than 40 inches of rain from Hurricane Harvey drowning parts of the state, the size of the Texas and ultimately the U.S. cotton crop could be in jeopardy. The American Farm Bureau Federation is giving the Environmental Protection Agency a thumbs up for its proposal to keep the 2018 conventional biofuels level at 15 billion gallons as called for in the Renewable Fuel Standard. At the same time, the organization warned that EPA's plan to reduce the level of required advanced biofuels in the nation's fuel supply will undermine the goals set by Congress to create a more robust renewable fuels industry and greater energy independence. Renewable fuels have been a tremendous success story for the country and for the rural economy. The Renewable Fuel Standard has reduced our country's dependence on foreign crude oil, reduced air pollution, increased farm incomes, and provided good-paying jobs in rural America, according to Dale Moore, AFBF Executive Director of Public Policy, who noted in comments to the agency. As the Texas Farm Bureau and many other groups begin to coordinate relief efforts, farmers and ranchers in parts of Texas are still faced with prolonged rainfall and flooding from Hurricane Harvey. The hurricane is one of the largest ever to make landfall in the United States and is projected to be one of the costliest natural disasters ever. We know this is going to be a significant agricultural disaster. We were involved in a relief effort when the wildfires hit earlier this year. This is going to dwarf that in every respect, and it's going to be a long time before we realize the scope of it. We know that a lot of farmers are counting on this cotton crop to be the one that keeps them in business. We don't know if every farmer can survive this. Prices are low and costs are high, and they were counting on significantly improved yields this year, according to Gene Hall, director of the Texas Farm Bureau's communications. Today, 99% of all U.S. farms are owned by individuals, family partnerships, or family corporations. Just 1% of America's farms and ranchers are owned by non-family corporations. Congress is back in session with the promise to work on tax reform this month. Pat Wolf, AFBF's tax specialist, explained that farmers need overall tax relief from Congress in any tax reform package. Wolf said farmers and ranchers need lower taxes overall, and in order for them to pay less taxes, they need special tools that help them deal with the ups and downs of the farm economy. Further, there's a lot of talk about lowering business tax rates, but if rates are lowered and farmers lose things like cash accounting, like-kind exchanges, it could end up being a tax increase. A common phrase used often when talking about markets that recover slightly after a precipitous drop is dead cat bounce. A quick Google search suggests it was coined following a slight recovery after a large market drop in the Singapore and Malaysian markets. The idea is that if you throw even a dead cat on the ground, it will bounce a little. Farm incomes in 2012 and 2013 were high relative to historical standards, but have dropped substantially since then. The recent projections of farm income released by the Agriculture Department's Economic Research Service in the 2017 Farm Sector Income Forecast suggest that we may have hit bottom in 2016 and are looking at an uptick in both net farm and net cash income in 2017 to $100.4 billion and $63.4 billion, respectively. Right now, the Lone Star State is trying to pick up the pieces from the devastation of Hurricane Harvey. Catastrophic winds and rains have destroyed parts of southeastern Texas, from the Gulf Coast up to cities in the Austin area. Homes and businesses are ruined, communities are displaced, damage is being assessed, and relief efforts are beginning. As the storm progressed, government officials declared a state of disaster for parts of Texas hit hardest and discussed how rebuilding projects will be long-lasting. News outlets describe it as one of the worst natural disasters in Texas history and have shown continued coverage of areas with major flooding and other damage. Emergency response teams are still deployed and neighbors are helping neighbors. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day and God bless America.